This is your AEW Dynamite review for Wednesday, March 24, 2021. I am the Solemn Monster, and this recap is dedicated to my dad, who I lost 6 years ago tonight. So I want to just dedicate that to him. I thought on the whole, this was actually a pretty good episode of Dynamite. You had a show tonight that started out very strong in the ring, and it ended the same way. Ended very strong main event TNT Championship between Darby Allin and John Silver. I hope John Silver is okay. It looked like he may have hurt his arm, his elbow. I think when he got thrown outside the ring over by the barricade, I think that was a little more than selling. So hopefully it's nothing too serious. But again, they started hot. They ended hot. There was some good action in the middle. And for me, that makes a good overall episode of Dynamite, which we will unwrap. We will unwrap the entire episode. I am very thankful that you have chosen me for your Dynamite coverage tonight. Memberships are now open here on the Sound Off channel. You can now become a Sound Off channel member on YouTube. You get perks, early access to special features like RSPW Rewind, some exclusive Q&A videos, and for the Sound Off Legend tier, which is the higher price $9.99 tier, you will have access to the lost episodes. Lost episodes of the podcast, which are not available anywhere else. I am slowly but surely going through them. And in fact, the very first upload is right there. The very first two episodes of the Solemn Monster Sounds Off from way back in 2007 are now up already. If you are a Sound Off Legend tier member, it went up yesterday, so go ahead and check that out. Hopefully we'll be getting a lot more of that up in the weeks to come. And I sure do appreciate everybody who has already signed up to become a channel member. You guys are awesome. Means a lot to me, and hopefully we'll get some fun content up there for you. So, with that out of them, by the way, Tyler, thank you for becoming a member. Pedro became a member a little bit earlier as well, so thank you. One little note here, Orange Cassidy, who is going to be on the show next week, not my show. Well, Orange Cassidy, he's on the show every week. He's sitting right here in this chair right now. He'll be on Dynamite next week, but he is in a match on AEW Dark Elevation that was taped earlier tonight. It will be airing on YouTube this Monday, and the big news coming out of that for his match with Chuck Taylor, they were in a tag team match. Orange Cassidy now comes out to the song "Where Is My Mind" by the Pixies. So apparently Tony Khan has once again wrote a check, as he did for the Baltimore song for Jungle Boy, and now Orange Cassidy has the Pixies as his new entrance music. So breaking out the checkbook for more music is Tony Khan. Show opened tonight with the World Title Eliminator match. It was Kenny Omega, the AEW World Champion, one-on-one against Matt Sydal. They did an angle on the first Dark Elevation show with Paul White and Tony Schiavone. That's the show that they host together. They did an angle where Omega attacked Matt Sydal, laid him out with a one-winged angel. They had like a mock match. Wasn't really a match. That's the segment I mentioned last week where Tony Khan came out and was talking about, you know, he's going to give Matt Sydal 9 days. 9 days! 9 days! I'm going to give you 9 days. So Sydal can adequately prepare to go one-on-one with the champion. And the stipulation was that if Matt Sydal were to win this match, he would earn himself an AEW championship match. And so here we are, 9 days later. We had the match tonight. These two, I thought, had an excellent opener. This was the best Matt Sydal match he has had yet since arriving in AEW. I thought he looked great. I think Omega was very generous with what he gave him here in this match. It really made Sydal look like $1 million. Made you think he was going to win. They had one near fall late in the match that was a hell of a near fall. It had me convinced. But he did kick out. So we had Sydal with a top rope Hurricanrana, Northern Lights bomb for a near fall, tried another top rope Rana, Omega escaped, and Sydal was sent crashing to the mat. He countered the V-trigger into a cradle. That was a great near fall. There was a roundhouse kick, lightning spiral, followed for another near fall. Sydal went for a Meteora. Omega countered into a buckle bomb, a power bomb, and a V-trigger. Seidel kicked out just before three. So now we're in the home stretch. Kenny Omega hits a V-trigger. Seidel counters out of the one-winged angel with a reverse Rana. Sets up for the shooting star press, but Omega hits the ropes to crotch him, and Kenny Omega wrecked. Wrecked this guy. He wrecked this dude with another V-trigger. Seidel landed a victory roll for the nearest of near falls. That was great. It's hard to do a near fall that's just timed to perfect. We see so many of them, right? So many false finishes. This one was done great. Omega hits another V-trigger, and finally the one-winged angel closes it out. Kenny Omega wins, and there will be no title match. Matt Seidel is a good hand, but he is not going to be challenging for the World Heavyweight Championship. But this was a hot way to open the show. This was, I'm trying to think if I like this more than the main event. I think I did. This probably was my favorite thing, my favorite match on the show. So I thought it was great. We had Omega's former tag team partner. We had Adam Hangman Page one-on-one against Cesar Bononi. Bononi got some offense. Not much. This was really just a very short showcase for Hangman, who wins with the Buckshot Lariat and left. According to Excalibur, he was cracking open. He was cracking open a, what did he call it? He, instead of calling it a Steve Weiser, he called it a similar, I forgot the name he gave it. Page Weiser. I think he called it a Page Weiser. Come on. Come on. Excalibur. Give me a break. Tony Schiavone was with Britt Baker, who was the star of the show last week. Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, but really, people were talking about Britt Baker wearing the crimson mask, taking that sick bump into the thumbtacks. Rodimus Prime is joining us tonight, and Rodimus Prime just triggered the Christian Cage Super Chat, which is lagging a little bit, but there it is. Thank you for the $30. Rodimus Prime is one of our OGs here in the AEW chat every week. KC DeMost just became a Sound Off superstar. Thank you for becoming a member. Yeah, it was Page Weiser. I think we can be a little more original than that. But Tony Schiavone was with his BFF. He was with Britt Baker. She was very upset with Thunder Rosa saying that she put the AEW women's division on the map. Here is this NWA contracted talent talking about how she put the AEW women's division on the map. I'd be upset too. If somebody who technically doesn't even work for this company, is not under contract to this company, made a comment like that, she has every right to be upset. So she was not happy about that. She also wasn't very happy with the reaction the fans gave her. So it was good to see her come out and heal it up and not, you know, embrace the applause or the support that people may have given her because, oh, I had, you know, she had such a wonderful, gutsy performance last week. No, she healed it up because she's a heel, which is the perfect role for her. I don't want to see her change from that. She thought she deserved a better ovation, a better reaction from the people in the building. By the way, not a scratch on her. This woman went through thumbtacks. This woman had her head ripped open, blood pouring down her face. Kendo stick shots, ladder shots. Not a mark on her. And if there were marks on her, they obviously covered it up with makeup. Why? I'd rather they put some makeup on to make it look like she'd been more abused. Just to sell the brutality of the match. We didn't even really get that coming out of the barbed wire exploding death match at Revolution. I mean, these people walk into the pit of hell in these matches, and you would, I mean, they come out without a scratch on them. At least doll them up and make them look worse. But I thought this was a very good promo from Britt Baker. I liked the fact that she was healing it up, and it wasn't one of the, you know, if this were in a building full of people, you know what would have happened. She would have walked out there tonight. She would have been serenaded by chants of, "You deserve it." She would have been treated like a babyface. And I would have loved to have seen her turn around and just throw it right back in people's faces. Because she's a heel. It's what turned me around on Britt Baker. When she was a babyface, it was a total disaster. In the ring, she's improved as well. But it really is all about the character that she plays on TV. As a babyface, it was a total disaster. Only when she went heel did she start to figure things out, turn things around, the pairing with Reba. So I don't want them to deviate from that. But she said everybody has been talking about her all week. Thunder Rosa can make whatever comments she wants to make, but everybody has been talking about Britt Baker, which is true. In fact, she has talked this week about all the text messages that she got. Mick Foley had some very nice things to say about her, but she said that she had gotten a very nice text message from Drew McIntyre. Among other people who reached out to her this week, she was very excited about that. She said that it took Mick Foley 20 years to become a hardcore legend, and she did it in one night. 87 thumbtacks in her back, blood in her eyes. But she's never seen more clearly than she does right now. And she says she put AEW on the map, and those three letters are second to the three most epic letters in all of wrestling, and that is DMD. I thought this was delivered great. I thought Britt was great here, and if these people know what they're doing, she will be your next AEW Women's Champion. Plain and simple. In fact, I mapped it all out on Sunday's podcast. You know, the match last week was unsanctioned. She lost, but it wasn't sanctioned. So it doesn't count towards the win-loss records. It doesn't count towards the rankings. And what did I say? Both women came out winners last week. In fact, I think Britt Baker may have come out the bigger winner of the two, because she's right. In this promo, that's a shoot. People weren't talking so much about Thunder Rosa because I think they kind of expect at this point Thunder Rosa's great. You expect great things from her in a big match situation. It was Britt Baker, I think, who impressed a lot of people. And she was the one that people were talking about. So she's right about that. But the fact that she lost doesn't matter because it was an unsanctioned match. So that, coupled with the fact, you know, I wasn't even sure who number one of the rankings was. So I looked it up and realized that it's Red Velvet. And I thought to myself, how the hell did that happen? How many matches on Dynamite has Red Velvet had? Outside of the tag team match with Shaq. Not very many. But she was in first place. First ranked woman. 5-0 record in singles matches. So I saw that. And, you know, I mentioned, we know she's wrestling Jade Cargill. We had a Jade Cargill vignette tonight. They haven't announced when the match will happen yet, but clearly it's going to happen sometime very soon. We know that. Ty Conti came into tonight with a 7-2 record. Nyla Rose with a 5-1 record. And I said on Sunday, Ty beats Nyla, which is exactly what happened tonight. So it's already playing out as I hope it plays out. Ty beats Nyla, and then you do Britt against Ty Conti with Britt winning. And if you want to do a match few weeks later with Britt beating Red Velvet as well, by all means. Because to me, you save that match with Britt and Sheeta for Double or Nothing at the end of May. So we're not even in April yet, so you've got 2 months to kill. Well, you've got two people that Britt Baker can beat between now and then. One is Ty Conti and the other is Red Velvet, and boom, you've got a new number one contender in Britt Baker challenging Sheeta. So if these people have any smarts up here, this is what they're thinking as well. Christian Cage was looking very tan. Christian Cage was, I don't know if he fell asleep in the tanning bed or what. Maybe he's just really enjoying his time in Florida, although I think he lives down there. I want to say he lives in Florida, I believe. But Christian Cage was in the back with Brian Pillman Jr., Griff Garrison, and Dante Martin of Top Flight. His brother is still out with a knee injury. And they're just having a friendly chat, shooting the shit. Christian's trying to introduce himself to everybody and give them some friendly advice. All of a sudden, Frankie Kazarian walks in to welcome Christian to AEW. It's been a while since he's seen him from their TNA. They didn't say TNA, but they've wrestled before many years ago in their TNA days. So he was very happy to see him, and Kazarian looked at his t-shirt, and he seemed to take exception to Christian's new catchphrase, outwork everybody. He's kind of staring at it. You could tell that it kind of irks him a little bit, and he wanted to know when the work part was going to come into play, right? Christian's been here now for a few weeks. We haven't seen him have a match yet. When are we going to get to see you work? And Christian said, well, it's funny you mentioned that. He goes, next week. And it just so happens that right now I have no scheduled opponent. I kind of free. And so if you're free and you have an opening, you want to step up, we can do it. And Kazarian was more than happy to oblige. And so next Wednesday, it's going to be Christian Cage against Kazarian. This is going to be their first singles match against each other since 2007. The very same year that the Sound Off debuted. So when you're a Sound Off member and you're going into the retro audio for members here on the channel and you're listening to that very first episode from 2007 that I recorded, that was the same year that we saw the last match between Christian Cage and Frankie Kazarian. By the way, that first episode of the podcast that I ever did, that I just put up yesterday for members, the first episode, 7 minutes. It only went 7 minutes. I introduced myself. I talked about the episode of Raw where Stone Cold Steve Austin showed up to confront Santino Marella. They tried to recreate the beer truck incident, which happened this week in history, by the way. Back in 99. So that's why I kind of merged the first two episodes together, because the first show I ever did was only 7 minutes long. At least the second one was a little over 20. You put the two together, you get half an hour. So it's been a while since Christian and Kazarian have tangled. They're a lot older now. Christian's 47 years old. Kazarian, I don't think, is too far behind him. But they're still very good at what they do. So that should be a fun match next week. I mentioned Pillman and Griff Garrison and Dante Martin. They were there because they had a match coming up. And it was the three of them taking on the Pinnacle. First time we're seeing the Pinnacle in action. This particular combination of Sean Spears and FTR. So they go to a commercial. Pinnacle takes control. And Dax Harwood cuts off a comeback attempt by Dante Martin. Hits a brainbuster. Sean Spears wins it with a C4. That's really all you need to know. Pinnacle picks up the win. And then we get to the good part. When you have people in a group like MJF and Tully Blanchard, even though Tully didn't do any talking tonight, it's about the promos. That's usually the good stuff. Tony Schiavone got into the ring to interview the Pinnacle. Before that, I should mention Wardlow. He did take out Brian Pillman Jr. He kind of sat him on the top rope and did the thumbs up, thumbs down gesture. And he pulled him down face first into a knee strike. So Tony Schiavone's in the ring. He's got a mic. And Cash Wheeler immediately pulls the microphone. Why even have Tony Schiavone in the ring if you're just going to pull the microphone out of his hand? Why have any announcers? We've already established that the wrestlers can hold the microphone. They do it all the time. It just sort of makes the announcers look frivolous, because Tony Schiavone just kind of was like, all right, whatever. But Dax Harwood, see, he's old school. So when Cash Wheeler was done speaking, Dax told Tony Schiavone, here, hold the mic. It's the way it should be. But Cash Wheeler took the mic first, and I like what he said. He got very serious. He said, look, this is not just a group. This is not just a faction. This is a family. He goes, I would die for all of these men. Everybody that you see here in this group, because I don't have a wife and kid at home. Like Dax Harwood does, for example. Right? He got real. He said, look, I don't have a family at home. I don't have a wife waiting for me when I come home, or you know, a little brat running around. It's just me. This is my family. I would die for these men. So then Dax Harwood took the mic, or Tony took the mic back, I should say, and Harwood cut his own promo, and he was calling out Santana and Ortiz, and he mentioned the fact that out on the marquee, it's about professional wrestling. It says pro wrestling is what it's all about. MJF talked about Chris Jericho, basically said Jericho's fat. He didn't use that word, but he was talking about Jericho sitting in a chair, worried about breaking the chair. Because you see, according to MJF, Jericho is fat in his old age. Spoken like a true heel, but whether or not that's true or not, I will leave that up to you to decide. MJF said that the Inner Circle they're not going to show up because they're terrified of us. And Tony Schiavone butted in and he said, wait a minute. He goes, you guys laid out the Inner Circle. You injured them. You put them out. That's why they're not here. So MJF and Wardlow burned a hole in Tony Schiavone right through him, and Schiavone backed off because he didn't want no trouble. Tony Schiavone, by the way, rocking the cool little stud in his ear. And Michael Cole used to have an earring in his ear early on when he first started. I know he had like the frosted tips in his hair. I could have sworn Cole had an earring at some point. I don't know. Maybe even thinking of somebody else, maybe. But anyway, MJF said, when you're in the pinnacle, you're always on top. I don't know if that was some kind of sexual joke or if he just meant when you're in the pinnacle, you're always number one. It's very possible that I'm looking more into this than there is, because that's just the way I am. We had a pre-tape promo from Team Taz. I should say a pre-tape promo from Taz. Everybody else just kind of stood around, and they were in the back. And he wanted to make it very clear, there's no dissension in Team Taz. Everything is fine. There's nothing wrong with Team Taz. Everything is good. In fact, Brian Cage apologized. He apologized to everybody in the group for coming out last week and saying he respects Sting. He apologized to Ricky Starks for disagreeing with him. When Cage came out and said, Ricky Starks was wrong, Sting, you are an icon. As he was saying this, I was watching Cage, and the expression on his face indicated that perhaps he, you know, probably did not apologize to everybody, but that's what Taz claimed. But he went around the horn, did Taz, and said, hey, Hobbs, everything's cool. And Hobbs said, yep, everything's cool. And when he got to Ricky Starks, you could see Ricky Starks is like biting his lip. He was struggling. He had this phony smile on his face. He goes, yep, everything's good. And then he went to Brian Cage. And Brian Cage just kind of looked around and, you know, he did the cutthroat symbol and he did the who better. Who better than Canyon? I hear who better. I don't think of Brian Cage. I think of Chris Canyon. So clearly there is still underlying tension in Team Taz, but they are not broken up yet. In fact, Cage is defending his FTW title, I believe, on Dark, and I did not write down the opponent's name, but somebody in the chat will let me know who it is. He is defending his FTW title for the first time in months. Didn't I just get done talking about that? Why even have the title if you're not going to defend it? So at least now he's actually defending it, so that's progress. Tony Schiavone is a regular Walter Cronkite. He tried to interview the Pinnacle. He's always interviewing somebody. Here he was interviewing QT Marshall. There are a few people on this show I care less about than QT Marshall. I'm sure he's a very nice guy. I'm sure he is very helpful to them behind the scenes, and he's a good trainer, and I know he's a big part of the Nightmare family and all that, but as far as a television character is concerned, I have no interest in seeing QT Marshall. So now we have to hear from QT Marshall. We have to hear about why. Why has QT Marshall been so... walking out on members of the Nightmare family, and he's just, why is he doing this? And he talked about, he pointed out his wife. I assume it was legitimately his wife. I love how they draw attention to the fact that, oh, my wife is in the crowd. And he said here, he goes, I've known my wife since we were both 8 years old. And I'm just thinking to myself, all right, you've now introduced QT's wife in storyline. I wonder how his wife feels about the whole storyline with the bunny. When QT Marshall was running around with the bunny in his corner, at his side. And they were like an item on TV. That's a little strange. But he pointed out his wife in the crowd and said she's watching her husband living his dream. There's nobody other than Tony Khan who does more actual work behind the scenes than he does. And he says the company threw him some bones with some pay-per-view appearances, and he won the first ever bunkhouse match in AEW many weeks ago. He said, you know, there's a lot of things the fans don't see. There's a lot of things I do that the fans simply are not aware of. They don't see it. Things like fetching Cody's coffee for him and making sure it's hot, and his you know, making sure his t-shirt is cut just the right way. He said Cody will go to bed with his wife after the show, while his own wife will go to bed alone. Well, as far as he knows. He hopes so. I have no reason to think otherwise, but I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you never really know. So the fans started chanting Cody's friend, because he was saying that's what people know me as. They know me as Cody's friend. He's sick and tired of being nothing more than Cody's friend. So we had the fans starting a chant of Cody's friend, which still feels weird, by the way. To have any type of actual fan chanting, this wasn't just the wrestlers at ringside. They have actual people who were in the building. I don't know what the capacity was tonight. So it still feels a little weird to hear actual people doing fan chants in the audience, because we haven't had it for so long. Makes things feel a little bit more normal, at least. So anyway, he was very upset. And he said the only way to get out of Cody's shadow is to have a match. Is to have an exhibition match against Cody. And he wants to prove that he can hang with the best that the company has to offer. So out comes Cody. He's got his arm in a sling. You know, he was obviously sitting at the gorilla position. He takes the headset off, hands it off to one of the staff members. He says, you know what? He's going to give QT Marshall his exhibition match. And not only that, Arn Anderson, another member of the Nightmare family, the coach of the Nightmare family, he'll be the special referee. The first thing I thought was, wait a minute. Is Arn going to turn on Cody? And then I thought back to a few weeks ago when we had the little Horseman reunion and Arn walked out through the tunnel and he sort of acknowledged, he threw up the four fingers. And somebody asked me last week, do I think Arn Anderson is going to join the Pinnacle? And I said no, and I still don't think he will, but it got me thinking for a second. But then when I think about it more, the Pinnacle doesn't need Arn Anderson. At that point, you're just blatantly trying to replicate the Four Horsemen. The Pinnacle has their JJ. They have that in Tully. Arn and Tully do not have to be in the same group. Arn can be very helpful, I think, to someone else. Tully is doing his thing with his faction. They already have six people, including Tully, in the group, so they don't need Arn. But I did briefly think that maybe this is setting up some kind of heel turn next week. Maybe it is. Although I don't know who, you know, Arn goes with or aligns with. I certainly don't want to see Arn Anderson become some kind of package deal with QT Marshall. I don't think it would help QT so much as it would just completely just bring Arn Anderson down the fucking tubes. But Arn Anderson is going to be the referee. Cody said, look, I'm going to try my best to win, but I'm not going to hurt you. Because I'm not going to hurt you. He says, if I put you in a figure four, I'm going to let go. If I go to hit you with the crossroads, I get you in position for it, I'm not going to follow through. It's an exhibition. My goal is to not go in there and hurt you. We can go in there, we can have a friendly competition. He says, you were a good assistant, you've become maybe my best friend. Said, QT might be his best friend, and because of that, we're going to do this exhibition because it means that much to you. And they shook hands, and that was it. That was the end of the segment. So Cody and QT are going to have an exhibition next week. I can't say that I care much more about this. We'll see if they do some kind of swerve here. My guess is Cody either wins or in the course of the exhibition, QT isn't so nice anymore and he turns on Cody and he just snaps and goes full on heel. And if he does, I ask you, do you care? If QT Marshall goes heel, do you care? What is it leading to? Big QT Marshall push? You know, it just feels it feels beneath Cody and what he should be doing right now. I kind of feel that way about Hangman and the Dark Order too, but I understand that Hangman is in this weird, you know, situation right now where it's not his time yet to challenge for the world title, and there's clearly no other great idea that they have for him. So we're going to get that match next week. We have the Young Bucks and Brandon Cutler. Another situation where the Young Bucks are with, I believe Cutler was their friend from high school. Everybody and their friends, man. They're just throwing bones to all their friends here on this show, man. Hey, good for them. Hey, they got some good friends. Getting them a job. Getting them some TV time. But I still maintain Brandon Cutler, QT Marshall, you know, whatever they may bring to the table, they should bring it on Dark. They have a lot of talent in this company, a lot of talent that, you know, doesn't get the spotlight because there are so many of them and they still don't have that second show yet. Some of these guys that I see on this show, unless it's just strictly like a squash match or an enhancement match, I'm watching this and I'm going, why are these people on Dynamite? It's not me trying to be harsh. It's just they don't belong in these spots. It just feels very out of place. But then we hear about how he's this person's friend and this guy's friend. And so you know why. But like, here's a great example. So we had the Bucks and Brandon Cutler against the Lucha Bros and the returning Laredo Kid. Pac unfortunately suffered what I hope is a minor ankle injury at Revolution. So he's out for a little while. Laredo Kid took his place almost 2 years after his AEW debut at Fyter Fest. Back in 2019, Laredo Kid was back. He previously at that show, he tagged with Penta and Rey Fénix against Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. So the match was what you would expect it to be with the Bucks and the Lucha Bros in there. I can't possibly go through every move, but Nick Jackson hit Penta with a flipping senton to the floor. Fénix was in the ring all by himself for a little while, got hit with an Indy Taker. Nick hit an Escalera dive to the outside. Matt Jackson took out Rey Fénix with a springboard DDT. But that left Laredo Kid in the ring and on the ropes with Brandon Cutler. And he hit Brandon Cutler with a top rope Spanish fly for the win. And there is the only reason Brandon Cutler was in this match. Because somebody had to eat the pin. And so in that situation, I understand. Brandon Cutler was the sacrificial lamb. The moment that we saw his name mentioned as being part of this match, it should have been very obvious why he was in this match. He was in the match to take the loss. And Laredo Kid picks up the win. Kenny Omega immediately runs out. He attacks Laredo Kid. He is well acquainted with the Laredo Kid because they've clashed for that AAA mega title in the past. I believe Kenny beat him for it. Or did he beat Rey Fénix? Now, it may have just been that he defended it. That might be what I'm thinking of. Because they had a match not too long ago. And I think it was just a case of him defending it against Laredo Kid. And Kenny won. So Kenny is very familiar with him. But Omega grabbed the mic and he said, you know, 3 years ago, he made a choice to come to AEW. They all did. They made a choice to forego New York, and come to AEW. And they wanted to make this the best wrestling promotion on the face of the earth. That was their goal. And the Bucks end up choosing Brandon Cutler instead of him to basically partner up with. And I, at that point, I actually agreed with Omega. You pick Brandon Cutler over the world champ. Come on. What does that say about their judgment? Kenny is right. Said, I'm going to give you guys one more chance. And he throws up the too sweet me. This is it, now or never. And the Bucks end up walking out. The Bucks and Brandon Cutler, they walk away. Kenny Omega turns around into a perfectly timed pair of super kicks by Penta and Rey Fénix. You could not have, this just went off picture perfect. Kicked him right in the mouth. Omega later on came up bloody, so they caught him real snug with those stereo kicks, and they killed him with a spike package pile driver. The Good Brothers eventually ran out. I don't know where the hell they were. Here come the Good Brothers to help Kenny do his feet. Like I said, he was bleeding from the mouth from all those kicks. We had a big announcement tonight. Cody and Brandy on social media, or at least Brandy, was teasing some kind of major announcement on this show. And I'm thinking, oh boy, it's going to be a sonogram picture, or it's going to be something baby related that doesn't belong on this show. But in fact, the announcement was that Cody and Brandy are getting their own reality television show. In fact, they've already looked like they already filmed the first season. They even had footage in there of her, I guess, taking the pregnancy test and springing the news on Cody. So they're getting, basically, you know, we go from total divas to total Bellas to Ms. and Mrs. And now we're getting Roads to the Top, coming soon to TNT. So Cody is getting another show. He already has the Go Big show on TBS, and now Cody is going to get another show. Cody is getting his own show, his second show. They didn't give a start date. I will predict that I will watch as many episodes of this as I do all those other reality shows that I just mentioned. So, do not expect a Roads to the Top review on here. We had a pre-tape promo with Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston. They were sitting in what appeared to be a trailer somewhere, someone's trailer. And Kingston had his foot heavily wrapped and bandaged after the attack from Omega the week before. And the Good Brothers were, they pilmanized the ankle. So his foot was propped up. And he said, you know, this isn't New Japan, boys. This isn't New Japan. It's not 6 years ago. It's not about selling some tacky-ass t-shirts. He goes, you guys are going to pay for this. You will pay. And he tried to stand up, but he kind of fell backwards. He had to sit back down again. He's a one-legged man. So Moxley at that point piped in, and Jon Moxley said the Good Brothers have to ask themselves, how far are they willing to take things? They have to ask themselves whether they are willing to get as much blood under their fingernails as he and Eddie Kingston are. Moxley said that he doesn't like the Young Bucks, but he does owe them after they came to his rescue last week. He said he doesn't like owing anyone anything. He said they're playing with live rounds, and if you want to play in the game, you better be ready to get your hands dirty. So this was the usual really good stuff from Moxley and Kingston. They just play off each other so well. And the thing I like about it, we know Jon Moxley is a great promo. Eddie Kingston is just, he can be on another level in the right situation. But what I love about them, especially together, there is an authenticity to them, especially Eddie Kingston. But there is an authenticity to them. You know what? I'll say Jon Moxley too. I don't watch Jon Moxley and think, oh, you know, he's just awkward because he plays the awkward guy on TV. I get the sense, especially from what his wife says, that's really who he is. He's a very just weird guy, but also very laid back and chill. And, you know, it's not like what you see on TV, the camera goes off and all of a sudden he's a completely different person. So for him too, there's an authenticity to both of them that I don't find in a lot of other people in this company. And frankly, I don't find in a lot of other people in any company. And that I'll lump their world champion in there too. Kenny Omega, you know, as great as he is, some of the promos that he does, I absolutely can't stand. Just the way he cuts them and everything. And so I'll lump him in there too. He doesn't have it either. Omega doesn't have that authenticity that these two guys do. It's a rare thing. Unfortunately, in wrestling these days, I feel like it's a rare thing. We got a little bit of that with FTR earlier in the show. I really like what Wheeler was saying when he talked about, I don't have a family at home. This, you know, I'll die for these guys. Like, there's certain guys who have that authenticity to them. But no two guys, I don't think, in this company more than these guys. So I really enjoyed this. We had Ty Conti one-on-one against Nyla Rose. Nyla Rose set Tay Conti up for the draping diving knee strike that she does off the top rope and nailed it for a near fall as they were going into the commercial, picture in picture, of course. They come back and Tay Conti got the knees up on a senton, made her come back with a series of knees in the corner. She went for a hammerlock DDT. Nyla Rose powered out. Nyla went for the Beast Bomb, but Ty rolled through. There was an ugly cradle attempt in here somewhere. Conti came back, hit her DDT or DD tie, I guess she calls it, the DD tie. It's a pretty sick-looking hammerlock DDT. And it was sick enough that it got her the win. So she picks up the victory. Conti, I gotta say, every time I see her, she continues to impress me. She continues to improve every time I see her. I still shake my head. I don't know what WWE was thinking when they let her go. But if she keeps up at that pace, she can be one of those top women, I think, in the division. She's got everything that you would look for. She's tough in the ring. I mean, she's got the judo background, so there's some cool things that she kind of throws in there that not everybody would know. The sex appeal is there. Whatever you look for, whatever box you want to check off, I feel like she checks them off. So this was a big win for her. Nyla attacked her after the match. Hikaru Shida ran out with her kendo stick, hit Nyla across the back, which prevented her from hitting the beast bomb. Out hops the bunny. Not Bad Bunny. Not Bugs Bunny, but the bunny. Of Butcher and Blade fame. Here comes the bunny. The bunny hops to the ring. She grabs the kendo stick, hits Shida with it. Then she hits Conti with it. And Matt Hardy is out. Matt Hardy, the Butcher and the Blade, they're coming out through the heel tunnel. Because remember, we have a heel tunnel and a babyface tunnel. So they come out through the heel tunnel and they're observing all of this. They're admiring what the bunny is doing. And Matt Hardy grabs a mic. He says, you know, the women's eliminator tournament was terrible because the bunny wasn't in it. So it's illegitimate. The bunny wasn't in the tournament. So it sucked. And he says that she's been overlooked for far too long. And that ends now. Which brought us to our main event. Kevin in the chat says, remember Bo Dallas? Oh, Pepperidge Farm remembers. Pepperidge Farm and Solomonster. I remember Bo Dallas. One of my favorite NXT segments was Bo Dallas before he left the brand, literally being chased down by, what was it, campus security and carried out. And then he bit one of the officers and like a rabid animal and he ran away and they chased him like into the night. They were still chasing after Bo Dallas to try to find him. He was running around the campus of Full Sail. It feels like a lifetime ago. I have no idea what is going on with him. He's under contract. They don't use him. They don't, you know, he doesn't come to the events apparently. He's got a farm. He's living with Liv Morgan. They're preparing for life after wrestling, I think doing real estate stuff, is from what I understand. There's a lot of missed potential, though. Missed comedy potential in Bo Dallas. Or you could have put him with the Fiend. Either way. So yes, to answer your question, I remember Bo Dallas. Another case of wasted talent. Wasted talent. There's nothing worse in wrestling than wasted talent. Darby Allin against John Silver in the main event for the TNT Championship. It was all John Silver. Early on, he crashed into Darby, which sent him all the way out of the ring. He followed that up with a massive, just a beel from one corner to the other. Exploded with a knee strike, brain buster for a near fall. They go to break. And they come back from break. Darby. Darby goes for a dive. And he's looking to go through the ropes to do that just reckless suicide dive that he does. As he's coming off the ropes, he's in mid-stride. He's coming off the ropes to hurl his body through the ropes out to the floor. Referee Bryce Remsburg steps right in his path. He steps right in. He did the exact opposite of what the referee is supposed to do. The referee is supposed to basically blend into the background. The referee is not supposed to make himself part of the match unless, you know, the story calls for it. It should be like, you almost don't even realize the person is there. And he literally stepped in this guy's path, and Darby kind of had to sidestep him, but he kept going, and he's very lucky he didn't get hurt, because I'm sure Bryce would have felt very guilty about that. Had Darby, you know, kind of slows your momentum a little bit. So imagine if his momentum slows, he goes through the ropes, but doesn't clear the ropes and, you know, lands on his fucking shoulder or something. So thankfully, I think he was okay. But I'm just thinking, my God, you see this guy's coming in a million miles an hour. Why would you step in his path? Or at least not be paying attention to know that he's coming in. So that could have gone wrong in a lot of ways. Sting had apparently made the comment that he was on social media, they said, that he was going to be watching Darby Allin's back. And sure enough, in the middle of this match, out comes Sting. He's got the baseball bat. He's got his long sleeve t-shirt on. He's out with the bat to scare off the members of the Dark Order. I thought we were going to get through an entire show without one Sting appearance. Apparently not. Sting had to make another appearance. Sting had to be there. Somewhere in all of this, Darby sent John Silver over the barricade outside and into the audience area. That's where it looked like he dinged his arm. And I don't know if he dinged it on the ground. I don't know if he dinged it into the metal barricade, but that's where he hurt his arm. And he was holding it, and you could tell. I don't know if he hit the funny bone or he did something worse, but that's where, if we start hearing that there's a potential John Silver arm injury, this is where it happened. So he makes it back inside. Darby hits a La Mahistral cradle, only gets a near fall. Silver locked on the Queen Slayer sleeper hole, which is Anna Jay's move. Darby escapes. The big highlight of the match was Darby falling backwards off the top rope. He did basically a truss dive. He did a backwards coffin drop from the top turnbuckle out to the floor on top of all the Dark Order members. That takes a lot of trust. So he wiped them all out. He goes back up to the top rope, but this time John Silver catches him with a kick to the head. Hits what looked to me like a version of a blue thunderbomb, spins him in midair off the rope down to the mat. He covers Darby and he hooks his legs back with so much momentum that he effectively put Darby's foot inadvertently on the rope, and that's what broke the fall. And that reminds me of one of my all-time favorite near falls in any match that I've ever seen, which was Pac, Neville, had that title match with Seth Rollins on Raw several years ago. And he hit the red arrow, which nobody should be kicking out of. And my God, they had people convinced. They had me convinced, even if just for a split second, that we were going to have a new champion. He hit the red arrow, but he hooked Rollins' legs back with such momentum that Rollins' feet were in the ropes. And the referee had to hold up the count at like 2.5. And people were freaking out. They were going nuts. They were going nuts. Such a great spot. Made me think of that. Silver, for the finish, was going for the Brody Lee powerbomb. He was going to use Brody Lee's move to win the championship that Brody Lee himself once held, but Darby countered that into a code red for the win. Much like the opener, again, I thought this was a very good way to end the show. I thought it was a very good match. I think I enjoyed the opener more. But anyway, Sting helps John Silver to his feet, showing respect for John Silver. Darby goes for a fist bump. John Silver gives it back to him, but then out comes Matt Hardy. He yanks Darby Allin by the legs out underneath the bottom rope and sends him into the barricade. And all of a sudden, a giant brawl breaks out to end the show. All of Matt Hardy's goons are out there, the goon squad and his crew. Sting is, you know, flailing away with the bat. I think he hit Mark Quinn with the bat, I believe. Ty Conti ran out. She was fighting with the bunny as they went off the air. I'm not a fan of the giant brawl. They do a lot of these. I'm not really a big fan of that finish that they did tonight. I didn't think it was necessary. But again, I thought the main event was very good. And again, I really hope John Silver's arm is okay. I didn't like the way he was favoring it. Just seemed to me like it might be a little bit more than just selling. Now, next Wednesday, we're having Arcade Anarchy. This should be the blow-off between Miro, Kip Sabian, and Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy. This is the match where arcade games are going to be surrounding the ring. I don't know what the objective is. If there's pinfalls or what. It could just be a street fight type of match with arcade games around the ring. But they are finally doing this next week, and that will hopefully be the end of this. And I might even enjoy it. Look, nobody likes a good classic arcade game more than I do. Maybe they'll have some classic arcades that I used to play out there. I have fond memories of playing WrestleFest and playing Mortal Kombat 2. There was always this one guy who was so good, he would beat everybody. And he smoked a cigarette, and he would let the cigarette sit on the dash of the arcade. You could see the cigarette burn around where the controls were. And everybody would step up and try to beat this guy, and I think he used to be Baraka or something. Baraka or... I think it was Baraka. Baraka or Raiden. But the point is, nobody could beat this fucking guy. He used to drive me nuts. And then one day I had my chance. And you know what happened? I lost. Just like everybody else. But I still have fond memories of that. Pac-Man. So, I will keep an open mind about this, but I'm more happy about the fact that we're just about done with this program. Hikaru Shida and Ty Conti against Nyla Rose and the Bunny. Cody will go one-on-one in an exhibition against QT Marshall with Arn Anderson as the referee. We've got Christian Cage wrestling for the first time in AEW on this, what should be a taped show. It's usually 1 week live, 1 week off, so... debuting on the taped episode of Dynamite next week against Frankie Kazarian. And Kenny Omega will tag with the Good Brothers to take on the Lucha Bros and Laredo Kid. Back again. We know this is building to Omega and the Good Brothers against Jon Moxley and the Young Bucks, with Eddie Kingston now hurt in storyline. So I can't imagine Omega and the Good Brothers are going to take the loss next week. In fact, that's why Laredo Kid got the win this week. He's probably the one taking the losing fall next week. You had to give them some shine. You had to shine these guys up this week. Give them a win to give them a little bit of credibility going into the match next week, where Omega and the Good Brothers will win. And then maybe in 2 weeks on the next live Dynamite, I would expect Jon Moxley and the Young Bucks probably taking on Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers. That would be my guess. We'll see how smart I am if they announce that match next week. Let us go to the poll. See what you guys thought of tonight's show. AEW Dynamite, 80% thumbs up, 20% thumbs down. And the NXT show over on USA, quite a bit less. But still positive. 68% thumbs up to just shy of 32% thumbs down. Yeah, we have people talking about some of their favorite arcades now. The Simpsons. I forgot about that. That's right. I used to play that as well. We had the Simpsons arcade. I'm trying to think of what were the other like really big, popular, like action arcade games from when I was growing up. I'm trying to think of what they were. I mean, Mortal Kombat was probably the biggest. It was probably the most popular, but there were a whole bunch of them. Jacob says we need a Sound Off Gamer Live. Hey, if my system could handle, until I get a new system, that's the only reason why I'm not doing the Sound Off Gamers right now. And even then, it would only be PC games. But once I get a new system going here, we'll be able to probably do more of those. Buck Hunter. That sounds familiar. Oh, X-Men. Okay, X-Men was one. Double Dragon. Man, now you guys are bringing back a lot of memories right now. Galaga? What's that? What's Galaga? I don't think I ever played that. NBA Jam. Of course. Of course. NBA Jam. How could I forget? You ever break one of the backboards? Shatter the glass backboards in NBA Jam? I did that twice. Doom. Did they have a Doom arcade? I don't think I ever played Doom in the arcade. Streets of Rage. Oh my God. You guys are taking me down memory lane here. Alien against Predator. Area 51. Time Crisis. I haven't even heard of half these games. Marvel versus Capcom 2. Galaga is a classic. I don't think I've ever heard of that before. At first, I thought you said Golga. I thought you were talking about the Oddities from the Attitude Era. Hope you guys aren't a big fan of a lot of that Attitude Era stuff. Because once Peacock gets up all those old episodes of Raw from the late 90s, I don't know that there's going to be much content left. You're going to have some I talked about the first sound off I ever did was 7 minutes long. The way they're probably going to edit and butcher a lot of these episodes, you're going to have a bunch of 7 minute Raw's War episodes. I don't know. I don't know what that's going to look like. I'm a little worried. But let's get to your super chats, because I know you guys have questions. I know you guys are supporting the channel as you do every week, and it means a lot to me. So again, I thank you for anybody and everybody who sends in a super chat. I very much appreciate it. So we're going to answer your questions. We're going to talk about whatever you want to talk about. AEW, other stuff. We're going to get into that right now. Oz and Glorious, thank you for the five. Marble Madness. Holy shit. That was one of my favorites. But see, now I feel like you guys are talking about just a bunch of old games. These were not arcade games, though. Like stand-up arcades that you would go into, like, the bowling alley or the arcade and play. Like, Marble Madness, I bought that for my console. So I'm not even aware of some of these being full-blown arcades. Marble Madness was one of my favorites. Ken Terminated was the first super chat of the night. So, Ken, I know he's probably hanging around the chat. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. Ryan Spies, actually, Ryan was the first one. As someone who's been a huge, or rather, as someone he says who has been on a huge TNA binge lately, Kaz versus Christian Cage sounds really exciting, especially since Kaz has not lost a step, unlike Daniels. Well, let's be fair to Daniels. Daniels, I believe, is 50 years old, so Daniels is older. I don't know how old Kaz is, but he's not. I don't think Kaz is close to 50 yet. So I mean, he's quite a bit older. So you got to cut the guy some slack. But again, Ken says, Ty Conti's victory must have made Andrade smile. Ryan, again, glad to see Allie back in the ring. She hasn't wrestled in a bit due to mental health. Is that true? I didn't know why she was gone. I just assumed it was because they just were not using her, but... All right, so let's see. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $5. Since it is your favorite feud in AEW, on a scale from 9 to 10, how excited are you for the Arcade Anarchy? I'll tell you what, you know, it was a 9, and now all this arcade talk in the chat, you guys are getting me excited. It might be up to a 10. I think instead of watching Dynamite next week, I might just want to go find an arcade game. I have an arcade game downstairs, in fact. I have my... Arcade 1-Up for Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat 2. I might go play that instead of Dynamite next week. I'll have my own Arcade Anarchy here at home. Nayef Al-Safar, thank you for the $9.99. Dropping some love here on the stream tonight. Joe Olivo with the $10. What would you rate this show this week on a scale of 1 to 10? This week's show wasn't an overly exciting show. It was largely carried by the in-ring. And there were some good promos too. The Britt Baker promo stands out to me, the Jon Moxley Eddie Kingston segment. I like the Pinnacle one. The match not so much, but the promo I thought was good. I'd probably go 6.5, 7-ish, maybe 7-ish, probably around there. Ryan Spies, John Silver has dislocated his shoulder. Oh, that is not what I was hoping to hear. Well, let's go check it. Let's go check the news and see, because that's exactly what I was worried about. I said the moment I saw him favoring it, I was watching his facial expression, and I could tell that something was wrong. But I don't know. Is that coming from an official source, or is that a guess on your part? Because if it is an injury, it would not shock me in the least. All right, well, I'm not on social media. I'm not seeing anything right now, but I'm sure you guys will let me know if there is an official source for that. And that is not good. That's the same injury that Danny Burch just suffered over on NXT, and they had to forfeit their tag team titles. It's the same injury that kept Karrion Kross out for about 4 or 5 months. So that could be very bad news for John Silver. All right, according to Sean Ross Sapp, well, there it is, John Silver with a dislocated shoulder. And think about this. So when he dinged his arm, that was in the first few minutes of that match. So this guy wrestled the rest of the way, and he took bumps too. It's not like he was shying away too much on a separated shoulder. I don't know if that's more guts than brains, but that's a tough guy, because that is a painful injury. From all accounts, separating your shoulder, not a fun time. Not a fun time. So he'll be out for a while. But the good thing about that, though, you know, John Silver and the Dark Order, they do a lot of character stuff on, like, being the Elite. So he doesn't have to disappear, you know, for too long. I don't know if he's going to have surgery or not, but he could still stick around. He just won't be able to get physical for a while. So my best to John Silver. If he was going to get hurt, then you know what? That was a hell of an effort tonight. Because he wrestled many more minutes in that match with apparently a seriously injured shoulder. And that's not an easy thing to do. Shoulder injuries are tough. They're tough. Kevin, oh my God, thank you for the $10. Dedicate this to your dad. From the stories you told, he sounded like a great man. Your sound-off family is grateful for the son that he raised to Papa Monster. Well, that's very nice. That's very nice of you to say. Rodimus Prime. Thank you for the $30. Awesome main event. Darby and John put on a clinic. Bright future ahead for John Silver. Jacob Barnes with the $5. I feel like the only reason the stuff with QT is happening is because AEW does not know what else to do with Cody. The cheeseburger. When are you going to have a Maki Ito Super Chat gift for $400 to $1,000? Well, when somebody drops $400 or $500 in one Super Chat, that's never happened before. I have had a few people, including the good professor, who I don't know if he's here tonight, but drop more than one Super Chat that kind of equaled that, the lower end of that, which was amazing. But I don't envision ever getting a Super Chat of that size. So, but having a Maki Ito Super Chat, I'm open to it. If somebody has a funny one, or have to be careful when you use GIFs. You know, some stuff you can't use, but if you have any suggestions, hey, feel free to tweet me. I'm always open to suggestions. Doesn't mean that I'm going to be able to use it, but Pedro, inconsistency is in realism. Thy name is AEW. Yeah, I know Pedro was very upset at some of the inconsistencies in Jon Moxley and Britt Baker not having, any real signs of injury after their big hardcore matches and some other stuff. And it's fair to point that out. You know, you point that stuff out for WWE, it's fair game to do the same for AEW. Jared M with the $65 Super Chat drop. Jared, thank you. Always showing up every week. Every week. Turtlehead said John Gotti, he thought he did five. It might have been 500, yeah, but it wasn't in one Super Chat. I think he might have done it in two or three. Yeah, the good professor is, he's out of his mind. But I love him for it. Oz and Glorious. I believe the Lights Out match was pre-taped. Great promo, even if she wasn't make-upped for the 2 weeks ago. The Gator Crusader with the $5. The Gator Crusader was on, I don't know if it was the first episode, he was on the Go Big Show. He was the Alligator Man on the Go Big Show with Cody. And he is a fan of the podcast. I hear from him time to time. He sends me some very entertaining videos. And hopefully one day I won't be reading a story about the Gator Crusader, you know, things going south with one of the Gators. I always tell him, please stay safe. I hope you know what you're doing. So many things can go wrong. I get very nervous when he sends me these videos sometimes. Dry chicken without flavor. It's time for Kenny Omega to start rebuilding for real this time. His own version of the Elite to rival the Jay White Bullet Club. I don't know if that... I don't... More factions in AEW, I don't know if that's the answer, and I don't know. I don't really know that he necessarily needs that. Don't we have enough factions in AEW? Do we really need more? This feels like overkill. Brian Gates, thank you for the five. Big fans, screw the haters, and stay safe. Well said. Same to you, Brian. I appreciate that. Donzel Hawkins, best heel and face in wrestling today. Name them. You think best heel, and it's hard not to say Vince McMahon, given the way that he just... I don't know what's going on with him. But you mean in terms of on-air characters, not behind-the-scenes characters. I see. Oh, man, you know, I gotta say, I don't get to watch him on television every week because, you know, he's in New Japan. Jay White is a fantastic heel. But so is Roman Reigns. In his own way, Roman Reigns is carrying an entire show. He's carrying an entire brand. So when I think of great heel, I think of those two are the first names that come to mind for me, honestly. Not necessarily in that order. But I think Roman Reigns and Jay White. Those guys are probably the two best heels in wrestling right now. In terms of best babyface, oh gosh. Ah, man, best babyface. I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, in terms of WWE, for example. There is no one big babyface that really jumps out at me right now, which is kind of sad. Yeah, I kind of hate everybody. But thank you for the super chat. If I think of anybody, I'll let you know. There he is again, the Gator Crusader. Just wanted to support the Alligators' favorite review show. If you guys appreciate Solo Monster, trust me, this takes a ton of work. Thank you, Gator Crusader. And as I said before, please, for the love of God, stay safe. Oz and Glorious, all the green names in the chat are beyond awesome to see. Yes, well, I mean, that's how you can tell the members apart. If you are a member of the channel, you will have your name highlighted in special badges and emojis in the chat. I'll be adding new emojis as I come across them, whatever I think looks cool. And that is exclusively for channel members. And again, if you're late to the review, we just opened up channel memberships a few days ago. And it's climbing slowly but surely, but if you hit that join button down below, it will tell you about what the tiers are and what you get and all that kind of stuff. It's just another way for people to show their support, if they so choose. And I'm pretty excited to get up some of this retro audio. I'm editing the retro audio because I have to take out, if there's anything, you know, like sometimes I'll have these special intros. Back in the day, I would use whatever music I wanted to use, and YouTube, that's not going to fly on YouTube, so that's the extent to which I have to edit some stuff out. But otherwise, this is audio that hasn't been available anywhere in years. Stuff that was going on in wrestling in 2007, 2008, 2009. So thank you. If you have joined tonight, I think we've had a few new members. Thank you for that. Yeah, there's all the emojis right there. Look at all those emojis. Emojis! Let's see here. And Oz, by the way, also says, thank God Jay White did not go to WWE. They would have ruined him. The dude is on fire. I said the same thing on the podcast on Sunday. I was talking about what he did. They had an earthquake in the middle of a New Japan show. And he happened to be in the ring when the tremors started and the building was shaking. So they took like half an hour intermission. The baby faces are just standing around. And when they're ready to resume, here come the heels. And Jay White had stolen all of their belts. So now he's walking back to the ring with Ibushi's belt and Tanahashi's never title. And then he gets in the ring and he's like looking up as Tanahashi has him down on the mat. And he looks up at the ceiling and he's like willing the lighting structure to fall. He's like praying to the gods above, you know, let that lighting structure fall and kill this man. That's a true heel. That's a true heel. If Jay White had gone to WWE, he would be just another guy. Not a doubt in my mind. They would not know what the fuck to do with this guy. It would have been the end for him. He would have made a lot of money, but it would have been the end for him. So I too am very happy that he stayed put. At least for now. Because you know eventually he will go. They all do. At some point, they all go. I just hope it's not for a while. Jake Rohald, thank you for the $5, I guess, or $4.64, as it were. Solid Monster should do song nominations for the Sunday show. Thanks for all the hard work. Do you think AEW does too many post-match angles? Yes. Yes, they do. And too many brawls. Too many show-closing brawls and segment-closing brawls. They do too much of that. Magician Sapphire, thank you for the 10. Thought Dynamite was great tonight. Give me the bunny over Bad Bunny any day. Oz and Glorious, QT Marshall is as bad as Ty Conti is hot. If the AEW stooge is in the chat, please stop putting him on TV. #JusticeForFuegoDelSol. Dried Chicken, after watching the New Japan Cup, I would love to see Shingo Takagi have a short AEW run and go after the TNT title against Darby Allin. I think that would be a hell of a match. Shingo is fantastic. Shingo just had another fantastic match with Will Ospreay. The post-match angle, not so much. But the match itself, which is unfortunate because the match was overshadowed by some, you know, dumb thing they did when the match was over that was just stupid and unnecessary. But those two work very well together. The comedic genius, Solo Monster, is Poopy. And Ken Terminated is Weenie. Ah, yes. Playing off of what we talked about the other night. Well, that's what Jake Roberts called Sting. Oh, he called Darby that. Right? He called Darby Poopy last week, which was very strange. And, no, he didn't call him poop. What am I talking about? See, now you're confusing me. He called him a weenie. Food Hive. Can't stay for the stream. I am so love you guys. Are you drunk? What was for dinner tonight, Jason? Cereal. I had a mix of corn pops and these oatmeal squares. I put some raisins in there, a couple of strawberries, a little bit of soy milk. It was good. It was good. Captain String Cheese. I definitely did not have that. If I had string cheese for dinner, I would not be doing this stream right now. This NXT TakeOver card is stacked. Yeah, I heard some of the things that happened tonight. I'm looking forward to watching NXT. And I don't think we need to see a two-night takeover become a regular occurrence. But obviously they're trying to stack it WrestleMania week. They're brand new on Peacock, so they want to really go balls out. So it's fine this time. But the takeover shows are always... I always say this. I've never seen a bad takeover. I have seen takeovers that are not as good as some of the other ones. But I've never seen a bad takeover. So I expect this one will be no different. Dop Dop, thank you for the 5. What do you think of Sheeta's run as champion? I think AEW shows her no respect. She's barely on TV, having matches or cutting promos. Well, part of the reason they might, and this is just me, guessing here, her English is not great, so promos are not really her strong suit, at least not in English. So her going on TV every week and cutting promos, I don't know that that's such a great thing, because I don't know that she's really a great promo. Should she be on television more often? She should. She's not on TV very often. But you need somebody to put her in the ring with. So do you just put her in the ring with a bunch of enhancement ladies who are just there for her to beat on and beat around? I guess you could do that, but if you're going to put her on TV, I think the lesson with Sting is that you need her to do something meaningful. Otherwise, don't put her on TV. But she is your champion, so you probably should have something meaningful for her to do. Her run to me has been very underwhelming. I think she's a fine wrestler, but her run as champion, I think, it just feels underwhelming. And that's not all her fault. I don't put all the blame on her for that. Part of that is just the way that the division is and how it's been booked and everything. I'm sure the pandemic didn't help, because there were people who, international talents who might have been in, and not just Japanese, but other international ladies who were in AEW and have not been able to come back just yet and be part of the roster. So, maybe that played a role as well, but I don't put all the blame on her for that. I think that's unfair. Ryan Spies. I hope Miro, Kip, and best friends in OC fight forever, to be honest. Easily the greatest feud in wrestling history. Should be the best match of all time. And I will be sure to block Ryan from the chat here in just a little bit. I have revoked your chat privileges, but not your super chat privileges. You can still super chat if you want. How dare you? How dare you say such a thing? Flamethrower Fluff Salisbury with the $5 super chat. I call dibs on the Double Dragon game. Remember Contra? I don't think there was an arcade. I used to play it for Nintendo. Contra was a favorite of mine. I mean, I go back to the Atari days, for God's sakes. I had the Atari 2600. There was the Atari 6700 or something. I forgot. But I would play Jungle Hunt. I would play Pitfall. Those were the days. Oofman Entertainment, I call dibs on The Simpsons. Everyone's calling dibs now. I call dibs on Katrina. Who else we got? Off Leather Wings, thank you for the $3. Taker, Eddie, HBK, Macho, Angle. You can only choose two. Well, I gotta go Macho. I mean, how can you not? Honestly, I mean, from that group, it's either Macho HBK or Macho Angle for me. And I'm thinking Macho Angle. You put me on the spot. I think I go Savage and Angle. And by the way, what a match that would have been. In their primes. Randy Savage against a younger, healthier Kurt Angle. Wow. Sign me up. Take my money now. Dry chicken without flavor. AEW after the main event. The giant brawl has teased Sting's next opponent after Lance Archer. And who might that be? Oz and Glorious. There it is. Marble effing madness. Says it's a great stand-up arcade with a real ball, no joysticks. I only played it on console at home. So I can only imagine how that must have been. You know what I want, actually? It's totally off topic here. Well, kind of. I mean, we're talking about games. I'm a big Price is Right fan. So one of the things I do on a daily basis is, on my phone, if I'm having lunch or something, I will bring up Pluto TV. And Pluto TV has a 24-hour Bob Barker Price is Right channel. And it seems like it's only episodes from like 1982, 1983, but I watch them, and it's funny to watch the early days of Plinko, right? Because Plinko now is like everybody's favorite. I mean, I fucking love Plinko. But I was thinking, like, I would love to have like a real life Plinko board, like the one they have on the show. where it makes the noise. You have the disc and it makes the noise when you drop it and stuff. Like maybe like a miniature version even. I should look into that. I don't know if they maybe sell their own version of a Plinko game. I would love that. I fucking love that. I would love to have Plinko here at home. I remember once on Amazon I was looking it up and it was like a bunch of knockoffs. It wasn't the same thing. But I imagine they probably don't sell something like that. Imagine like a giant Plinko board in the background where that poster is right now. Let's see, who we got here? We got Dry Chicken again. Solid Monster, you're going to love Will Ospreay so much if you get the chance to watch the New Japan Cup. I know how great he is in the ring. You don't have to convince me. The Murder Hawk. At times, I wonder why AEW has a ranking system. Seems like they have eliminators for title shots. Also, Excite Bike rules. Excite Bike? Ken Terminated, did you ever comment on Allie's cute, evil laugh? No. No. I never really noticed it, to be honest with you. 561 Mexico with the $20 super chat drop. I was live at Daly's place tonight after the show went off the air. Darby Allin got on the mic and thanked John Silver for the match and mentioned that Silver dislocated his arm in the match and kept going. So there's another confirmed report of poor John Silver dislocating his arm. He's a tough SOB, I'll say that much. This guy was bumping around like a mofo. Never stopped. Had a very good match. He worked better with a dislocated arm than some people with two good arms work. That's a credit to John Silver. Quintus Brown, what are your thoughts on the great Khali getting inducted in this year's WWE Hall of Fame? I will talk more about that on Sunday, but for now I will say, if for no other reason, I think this is going to be an amazing induction speech. JC Zephyr with the $10. Hope everybody is well. With this talk of classic arcade games, we should do a sound off meetup in an arcade restaurant area when things are back to normal. Not a bad idea. We did a Halloween meetup once here in New York. And I got all dressed up as the Macho Man. Oh, yeah, huh? Thinking. By the time I was done doing the Macho Man voice at the end of the night, I felt like I could just taste the blood dripping down my throat. It felt like I'd swallowed a bunch of nails. But I was walking around in the Macho getup, and I was giving away Slim Jims to people. We'll do meetups. One day we will return to meetups. I vow, one day. I don't know when it's going to be. It could be many months or years from now. I don't know when I will want to do a meetup again, but we will definitely do them again at some point. Dry Chicken, I never thought to see Vicky and the Bunny laugh at the same time like evil, wicked witches. You know, I was a little bit worried because I think I was on Dark Baby the other day. I noticed that Jade Cargill was out there with Vicky Guerrero, and it might have been Nyla Rose, and I thought that they had paired off Jade Cargill with Vicky Guerrero. Don't do that. Jade Cargill does not need Vicky Guerrero as a manager. That would be a bad idea. I don't want to see that. Thankfully, tonight there was no indication of that being the case. So hopefully that was just a one-off type thing, but I saw that and I got worried. I said, since when does she need Vicky Guerrero to be her manager? She doesn't. She's better off on her own. Ali Nadim, did you talk about the New Japan Cup on the podcast? I wanted to hear your thoughts on that segment. I did not talk about it. I talked about the what happened at the show with the earthquake, and then I had not yet seen the match. And didn't want to give away any spoilers, so I did not talk about it. I thought what happened post-match was just dumb. I mean, it didn't offend me. It was just more like shock value for the sake of shock value. And then came the reports that apparently a lot of the main event talent in New Japan, they didn't know about it, and they were very upset. They were like, this is stupid. What is this? I mean, he didn't need to lay out his girlfriend like that to prove that, you know, the win is the most important thing. The championship, the World Heavyweight Championship, is the most important thing to him. It just felt... And you know what made it worse? The fact that when he dropped B. Priestley, when he gave her that cutter and he laid her out, it was dead silence. Now, that might have just been, you know, because of COVID or whatever, but dead silence. So even the reaction that you would expect to something like that, like a shock reaction, wasn't. It was almost as if they were in just a totally empty building. It just felt like shock value for the sake of shock value. So I thought it was dumb, and it's a shame because it was a really good match that they had, and all anybody was talking about that next day was the dumb segment post match with Will Ospreay laying out B. Priestley. It detracted from what, you know, people should have been talking about, which is the fact that those two guys had a kick-ass match in the finals. Dry Chicken, Sting's next opponent after Lance Archer will be Matt Hardy. See, now that works better if it's like Broken Matt, and he's not Broken Matt anymore. I feel like there's a missed opportunity there. But you know what? Matt Hardy would be a safe opponent for him. So in terms of the potential opponents, he's a lot safer an opponent than probably Lance Archer would be. Not that he's reckless or anything, but I don't know. Lance Archer, big dude who just literally calls himself the Murder Hawk and just wrecks people left and right, going in there with 61-year-old Sting. I don't know about that. Leroy Rollins. Leroy. What do you think of WWE's 50 greatest women's wrestlers? I have not seen the list. I'm trying to avoid. I'm desperately trying to avoid that list. It's going to be such a shit show. Once they reveal the top 10, I am dreading this. I really don't even want to. I don't even want to read the list. I really don't even want to read the list. They only do it to rile people up and just get them talking. It's the only reason they do it. As Ryan Spies' super chat vomits all over all of the other super chats I was about to read. Look at this. He just threw up. He threw up all over Turtlehead's super chat. There we go. I'm sorry, Turtlehead. I had nothing to do with that. Turtlehead, how hard would it be for the non-English speaking wrestler cut the promo in their language and the other person pretend to know what they're saying? That would be dumb. That would be very stupid. Uffman. Atari had the 2400, 5600, and 7200. Then the Jaguar, but less said about that, the better. Yeah, Jaguar and Neo Geo. There are just some things that are better left not talked about, or unsaid. I guess that's the word. Well, then I probably had the 2400 and the 7200. That's what I had. I still have my old Atari, Bob. It's up in the closet. Joystick and all. Used to love playing with my joystick. Still do. Pedro Velasquez with the $2. Thank you, Pedro. Quintus Brown, what are your thoughts on Scorpio Sky's heel turn? He had a decent promo tonight. Yeah, it was pretty decent. I said the promo work tonight was pretty good. The in-ring, there was some good in-ring stuff. That's why I thought it was a good show overall. It didn't feel like a big show tonight, but the action and some of the promo work I thought was on point. We got a brand new member. Look at that. Yarvani Zarate just upgraded his membership to Sound Off Legend. He was a Sound Off Superstar at $4.99. He just upgraded his membership to the $9.99 Legend tier. Yarvani, thank you, sir. You now have access, and as it goes up, you will, to a lot of the retro audio. But thank you, brother. I appreciate that. That is very cool. BB Ball All. How do I pronounce that? Let's see. BB Bilal or BBB Alal? We'll call him Ball. How about that? Ball with the $5 super chat. Shinobi. I thought you were talking about Al Snow. Shinobi on Arcade was dope. If she wasn't with Impact, Gail Kim would be a good mouthpiece for Sheeta. Who do you think would be a good fit? Then Gail Kim, I hadn't thought about that. Gail Kim, it depends. I mean, do you want to have a male mouthpiece for her, or does it have to be female? Because I can't think of any females that are currently there. I wouldn't want to just, obviously Vicky Guerrero is a heel, so that wouldn't work. I'd have to think about that. But I think you could definitely find somebody to pair her off with to, maybe do some promo stuff for her or with her. Dried Chicken. Should AEW consider using the ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena for a test run? I don't know that I have ever been in that building. I don't know where that building is located or what the capacity is. So give me some more information on it and I'll give you my opinion. I don't think I've ever heard of that building before. Ryan Spies, Tommaso Ciampa looks older than Sting. He does look older. That look is not a great look for him. It makes him look 10 years older than he really is. I guarantee you, if he shaved that rat's nest off his face and even the hair that he's started growing back in, the gray hair, he would look like a new man. He would look like he has found the fountain of youth. It's just not, it's not a look that screams young man. I know he's not as young as he used to be, but I guarantee you, he got rid of that rat's nest, went all clean shaven, would take 10 years off his life. I don't mean that in a bad way. We're not looking to take 10 years off Ciampa's life, but it would make him look a lot younger than he is. JC Zephyr, what Ospreay did reminded me of what Orton did in the Stacy Keibler in the build for WrestleMania 21 for his match with The Undertaker, and that was stupid too. Dry Chicken Without Flavor, Mortal Kombat is better than Street Fighter. Oh. Them are fighting words to some people in the chat. I might agree with you on that, actually. I like them both. Street Fighter is another one. Street Fighter 2. Street Fighter Turbo. I used to... That was my shit. So I like them both. I'm going to be an impartial party on this, but in the chat. One for Mortal Kombat, two for Street Fighter. Let's see. Let's see what the consensus in the chat is. I'm very curious. I would think it's probably neck and neck. But let's see. One for Mortal Kombat, two for Street Fighter. We'll see what people say. Nayef Alsafar dropping another $9.99 here on the stream. Brother, thank you so much. I appreciate that. Quintus Brown, the Elite, Omega, Bucks, Page, and Cody are all doing their own thing now. Sucks that we won't see them in that Blood and Guts match in the future. Look at all of those ones. Oh, we got some twos. We got a lot more ones than twos. I didn't think it would be that lopsided, but everybody is voting for Mortal Kombat. Wow. All right. We got a lot of Mortal Kombat. There's a new Mortal Kombat movie coming out, I think, next month. Is it next month? I think it's next month. Brand new Mortal Kombat live action movie. I thought it was coming out in April. Zombified guitarist with the $2. Can New Japan ever work with WWE after recent collaborations? Anything is possible. After the year that we've seen and the collaboration between promotions right now, AEW and Impact, New Japan and Impact, New Japan and AEW, I think it's a case of without Vince McMahon at the helm, and eventually he won't be. I don't know when that will be. I don't know that we're going to see any kind of collaboration like that as long as he's in charge. Once he's out of the picture, I think it's like jump ball. Anything is possible. If it makes business sense, I would like to think that they would keep the door open for the potential to do something at some point. thing with WWE is they have no real incentive to. It'd be a cool thing for the fans, but is it going to make them money? They're already making money. They make millions and billions of dollars off their TV contracts, so they could just kick their feet up on the table and put in the least amount of effort possible. What incentive is there for them to go work with New Japan? What incentive is there for them to go ahead and work with AEW? There is no incentive. That's why it's never going to happen. But you get new leadership in charge, or somebody who's a little more open-minded, you never say never. And dry chicken without flavor. ViStar Arena is in Jacksonville, right next door to Daly's Place. Well, Daly's Place is a Khan facility, right? A Tony Khan or a Khan family, Khan-owned venue. I assume that this arena next door is probably not. I don't know what sports are held there. I don't know what teams run there. So there could be a schedule conflict. If there isn't, then, you know, sure. I think part of the reason they like Daly's Place, it is an open-air venue. So you have an open-air venue at a time when it's probably a lot safer and smarter, frankly, to be in an open-air venue. So I don't really know that they would want to move into an indoor venue. At least not for a few more months. Daly's Place is a very cool venue. I used to love it. When they would go to Daly's Place and do shows every now and then, I thought, man, this is a really cool place. But the fact that we've seen only shows in Daly's Place now for a year, you get tired of it. And so you want to break out and you want to go somewhere else, you know? I thought it was interesting they made the announcement tonight that apparently on April 9th, which is a Friday, AEW is running a house show at Daly's Place. They're going to run a live event, non-televised. They're selling tickets to a house show at Daly's Place. And that's going to be the very first house show that AEW has ever done. So that sounds to me like a test. They're kind of testing the waters to see how it does. That's a very interesting announcement that they made tonight. You might have missed that. I forgot to mention it until just now. But that is a very interesting little experiment that they're trying. The Genius. Buy GameStop stock. And go to the moon. Oh, like Cameron Grimes? I heard that GameStop isn't doing so hot again. They're in trouble. Zombified guitarist. Cryogenic preserved Vince or head in a jar Vince? Oh, I like cryogenic preserved Vince. So when science eventually catches up to the point where they can reanimate him. Although it'd be a shame to reanimate him at the age of 75, right? It'd be better if we can get like age 45 Vince back with the powder blue suits and everything. I'm going to say cryogenic preserved Vince. And 514 Trader with the $5 Canadian, $3.99 Super Chat. Thank you, 514 Trader. I see you in the chat. It says, going out of my way, but dreaming of an AEW angle with Zelina and Andrade pair to be interrupted at a future date by Charlotte. And to my end pairing, take my money for that feud. Well, look, Zelina and Andrade in AEW is very possible. Charlotte in AEW, very unlikely. Very unlikely. She strikes me as somebody who is going to be a lifer in WWE. That's kind of how I feel. Actually, if Charlotte is going to ever have kids, she's probably going to be taking a break very soon. Because, you know, that's the thing with the women. And we saw it with Becky, and Lacey Evans is out now. You know, you can hit your peak of, let's say, in-ring success in your mid-30s. You can't exactly wait until you're, you know, deep into your 40s, early 40s to have kids, right? So, you know, you kind of get to that point where you could be having this amazing run, like the run that Becky Lynch was on, and then you have to step away because you are with child. If Charlotte is going to ever have kids, and I think I've heard her talk in interviews about the fact that she would like to start a family, how old is Charlotte? Somebody in the chat tell me how old Charlotte is. I thought she was mid-30s. And if that's the case, she doesn't have that much time left if she's going to want to start a family. Hey, Saffman, thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good night, man. Thank you for tuning in. I salute you, sir. Yeah, but I'm curious now. Somebody in the chat, fill me in on how old Charlotte is. Let's go back and just take a look real quick at the poll results. It's a very good score for AEW. 80 up, 20 down. And we've got over on the NXT side, 68 up, 31 down. Again, you can vote in all of these polls every week by going to @Solomonster on Twitter. That is the place to go. @Solomonster is where you can find these polls and other random things that I tend to tweet about. Okay, now you guys are just getting silly now. We've got a Winter Horsey who says Charlotte is 78 years old. Dry Chicken says 34. Okay, so she's probably 34. Well, there you go. I mean, you know, you're getting to that age. I'm just saying, you get into that age where if you want to start a family, this is probably the time. So who knows what the future holds for Charlotte Flair? My point is that when push comes to shove, I just don't see her leaving. You know, she made a name for herself in this company. They're going to do everything they can to hold on to her. They don't want her going to AEW, believe me. So I look at her as a lifer, unlike her fiance or boyfriend, whatever they are. Andrade is a free man now. I don't think it's a lock at all that he ends up in AEW. In fact, I'm not sure AEW is even the best place for him to be going. Would not at all be shocked to see him in Ring of Honor. You know he's got friends there. He can stay, you know, in the U.S., doesn't have to go to Japan if he doesn't want to go overseas. I would not underestimate the possibility of him landing in Ring of Honor. Charles Capone. Just wanted to show some love to my favorite podcaster out there. Love the shows always, and thank you for them. #SoundOffArmy. Now there's a hashtag I can get behind. #SoundOffArmy. Very cool. All right, so I think we're all caught up. Senor PA in the chat says, I want to see him in New Japan. He had some great matches there when he was there years ago. Jordan says, sad news. I'm trying to become a channel member, but my browser keeps glitching. I think you have to do it on your desktop. If you're trying it on your mobile, especially on iOS, it might not work. That's what YouTube says anyway. Somebody clued me in that Apple wants a cut, which is probably why they don't let people do any of the membership stuff, let's say on their Apple device, on their phone. So I don't know if you're doing it on there, that would be why. I would try it on your desktop and it should work. But if not, shoot me another message on Twitter or something. We'll try to figure it out. Says 514 says, eventually all indies will work together in one way or another. You know, coming out of COVID, I think you're going to see a lot more cooperation between the companies, at least initially, because, you know, this has been a really tough period for them. It's been a really tough period for them. And I think some of them will find that the best way is, frankly, to work together. Yeah, that's I think Okada said it best. Okada did an interview a few months ago, and he said he wants to work with all companies, including WWE. He has this vision. Okada has this vision for like some big wrestling supercard. I think he's being very optimistic about that. Especially, you know, getting WWE in on that. But there's a lot of companies who you're going to see they're going to be working together because, you know, business is probably very soft. Some indie promotions will never reopen. You know, COVID devastated a lot of different companies and a lot of different businesses. Some will survive, some will not. I think a little more cooperation could go a long way. Ken terminated with the $5. I know your favorite performer is Brett. Steamboat and Brett are my idols, with the Dragon be in your top 10 favorite worker? Probably not my top 10 personally. Steamboat was fantastic, though. Steamboat was great even in his later years. Remember, he had the match with Jericho back in 2009? And then the Nexus almost killed him. And that was the end of Ricky Steamboat in the ring. And I wonder sometimes, you know, how much longer could Steamboat have gone on for? You know, even just having matches here and there. Because even at 53, I think he was. Or maybe he was older than that even. He still looked great. If he wasn't nearly assassinated by the Nexus and had that brain aneurysm or whatever it was that he had after that angle, who knows? Who knows how much longer Ricky Steamboat would have been active for? Dry chicken without flavor. Would you like to work out? I assume you mean with Vince. I don't want to work out Vince McMahon. He can spot himself. Would I want to work out with Vince McMahon? Probably not. Because even at 75 years old, Vince would probably just run my ass into the ground. Vince McMahon is an absolute, he's an absolute beast. At 75 years old in the gym, lifting those weights and everything. I saw that video the other day that the WWE corporate trainer put up. Nah, I think Vince would work circles around me in the gym. Come on, pal. Another set, pal. Put another plate on, pal. Meanwhile, I got my 15-pound plates. He would make me feel very, very bad about myself. So, no. Senor says, can we just keep Vince in the gym while the writing team produces the show without him? Yeah, maybe that's the distraction. We keep putting new gym equipment in the gym that, like, excites him. And maybe he'll just, like, forget to come to work. All right, again, for those of you who may have missed the memo here or may have tuned in late, let me just mention this because this is the first night on the Dynamite stream that I can promote this. I'm very excited about this, and I hope you are too. You can now become a channel member here on the Solid Monster Sounds Off YouTube channel. There are two tiers, the Sound Off Superstar tier for $4.99 a month or the $9.99 Sound Off Legend tier. You get a lot of the same perks on both. On the Legend tier, you get a little bit more. You will have access to a lot of the lost episodes, audio never heard anywhere else in years of the Sound Off as I begin the process of putting up a lot of those old shows. So click the join button down below this video. You can read up on all the tiers. I put a little introduction video up there for you. And if you become a member of the channel, then you will be part of our Sound Off army. You'll be able to use emojis and you'll have badges next to your name in the live chat. Your name will probably be green. Everybody else will be green with envy. But in all seriousness, to everybody who has joined over the last few days, means a lot to me. I've been working on this for quite some time, and I hope that you will join. And I hope to see you there, and we'll be adding some more goodies as time goes on, and exclusive little Q&As where I can add them just for members only. I'm going to be working on a brand new RSPW Rewind very soon. And, you know, again, if you're a Sound Off channel member, you'll get that video probably 24 to 48 hours before everybody else does. And so there'll be some cool stuff like that. So, again, if you become a channel member, I salute you. Everybody who joined tonight, thank you. Everybody who dropped a super chat, everybody who didn't but tuned in anyway, thank you for the support. Thank you for choosing me for your Dynamite coverage. We'll get back to some of the calls next week, I promise. So, Uffman, how come you haven't joined? That's true. I have a wrench in the chat who hasn't joined to become a member yet. What's going on here? Anyway, I'm going to go, now that we talked about Vince McMahon and all the working out and stuff, I shall go lift some free weights right now. I want to get my pump on here at 12:15 in the morning. Robert just joined. Robert Kaplinger, thank you. Becoming a Sound Off superstar. Robert is our latest member here tonight. Thank you again. Be well. Stay safe, especially the Gator guy. Please be safe. And I'm going to see you back for episode 697 of the Sound Off this Sunday. And live on YouTube, we got one more Dynamite stream here before the year is over. March 31st, the final day of the month, is going to be the final Dynamite stream for the month of March. And I will hopefully see all of you right back here next week in the chat. So until then, show me those emojis in the live chat. And I will see you. Oh, Jordan, look at this. Right under the buzzer. Dropping a super chat. I know it's not much, but this is my first ever super chat. Well, look at that. Look at that. Cheers to Jordan. Says, keep up the good work and can't wait for next week. I think Jordan became a member tonight as well. The double whammy. Jordan, that's very cool. And you will get the final super chat of the night. So again, I salute you and I salute everybody else. And I am going to see you guys, as I said, right back here next Wednesday. So until then, take care, guys.